T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And LeBron particularly, hell yes, do it. And they did it, and I'm glad they did it.
Listen, the Pelicans are fascinating to me because they're also a small market like the Grizzlies.
Yes.
They couldn't make it happen with Davis, which is really unfortunate.
I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to compare Jaren Jackson yet to Davis. But
I mean, that's where you're going
with it. You can conceivably see that kind of thing happening with Memphis.
We need to rename the team Jaren Jackson at this point as much as we talk about him. But you seriously have to figure out what makes him happy and do everything.
And
that's what you have to do.
And this is the problem going forward. You got to get the right guys around him.
And the problem is you could do everything perfectly and they'll still want to go to Los Angeles because it's awesome.
And that's
it's nice and the weather's good.
And you can have cap space and you're still not going to land that top-notch guy that you wanted to. You're going to get a Chandler Parsons when his knees don't work.
Yeah, and that's the only way you get him.
That's it.
Story number 4.
Not to be negative Nancy.
Well, no, but it's just...
Truth Tommy. Yeah.
Truth Tommy.
There you go.
It's also football time in Tennessee, Brad, and everywhere else in this great nation. Did you know that?
I've heard, and there's even wagering.
The Alliance of American Football League begins play tomorrow. Yeah. Now, our team, the Memphis Express, play their inaugural game on Sunday at Birmingham on CBS Sports Network at 3 o'clock if you're interested.
As Gary would say, the network of stars, America's most watched network. Right?
He does say that.
Yeah,
and I don't blame him.
Thank you.
CBS going to have regional coverage from 2 games tomorrow night at 7:30. The San Diego Fleet taking on the San Antonio Commanders. You know what it's like when those two get together,
Brad. Oh, it's always hot action.
And if that's not enough for you, the Atlanta Legends are taking on the Orlando Apollos.
The Apollos.
Apollos.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can tell you, the odds have been posted by Las Vegas. There is gambling.
There is gambling involved. Yeah. Here's what I know. I know the Express are coached by Mike Singletary, Chicago Bears Hall of Fame linebacker.
Yep.
I looked at the roster, okay?
Go through
52 players on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 52 players on the roster.
Okay.
I'm a college football guy, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not the Gary Parrish of college football or anything like that by any stretch, but I'm a knowledgeable college football fan.
Tell me what your thoughts are.
Of the 52 players on the roster, how many do you think I recognized?
5.
Actually, 8.
8.
So that's not terrible.
It's pretty good.
That's not too bad.
All 3 quarterbacks are 3 of them, right? Or two of them.
Mettenberger and their starter, Christian Hackenberg from Penn State.
Yep.
That was 2 of them. I recognized 2 Memphis players.
Memphis dudes.
And then
maybe
after
a Tennessee and Ole Miss
slim
or somebody.
Pickens.
Yeah, okay.
Hackenberg, by the way, if you're interested in betting, was named as the Express starter today. So that sounds like a legit, huge.
I mean, that sounds fun, you know?
So here's where we go.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it 100, Brad, because that's how I do
it. Yeah, I know you're going to keep it real.
I have no intention of sitting down to watch this
game. You're not going to watch this Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m.?
I mean, so here's the thing. Now, I'm in a different place than most of the football public out there.
Yeah.
I'm coming off a very dramatic high.
Oh, the Super Bowl.
Of the New England Patriots winning the actual Super Bowl. So, like all these other things.
Don't give me that actual crap.
They won their 6th Super Bowl, Brad. I've gone just about an hour without really getting into it. 6! All in 17 years!
Go Express. The Birmingham team.
What were we talking
the
about?
The Iron,
yes,
minus
the
1, they're favored.
It's tough to go to Birmingham and beat the Iron.
You don't just go into Birmingham.
No. Particularly,
are they playing in
and
the...
And here's the thing that concerns
the
me.
The dump bowl in Birmingham?
This is Hackenberg's first ever AAFL game.
Yeah.
He's got to be nervous.
Oh,
you don't,
I can imagine.
You don't go to Birmingham as a first-time starter and just...
Okay. How many people do you think will be watching this game in Birmingham, which is much like Memphis?
The ratings are going to be interesting.
I'm talking in the stadium.
Oh, in the stadium.
How many people will
now,
be in the stadium?
Now, see, Birmingham is a big football town.
Yeah, I know. No pro, no NBA. You got, you know, Birmingham.
I don't know how they deal with weather the way that Memphians do.
Well, like, the rains are
if
out.
This game is played here Saturday, you got serious problems because it's cold and rainy. And
they're going to be playing here in 2 weeks.
Well,
or a week.
I don't know what it'll be
in a week. 1 week.
I just know what it's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weather like we're having.
Here or there?
Let's go there. I'm going to guess 10,000.
Birmingham's football? No, I'm going to say 7.
7,000 people?
Yeah. 10? 10's pretty good.
10.
That's probably 10, more than UAB, Drew.
I bet you their goal is 10. Like, if they hit 10,
their goal.
I bet the AAA is like, if we can get 10,000 people to watch this.
Okay, flip it.
All right.
Memphis, what is their goal for their average this season?
I think they're all probably 10.
Oh,
I bet you they're all 10.
There's no way in hell they're getting to 10.
I'm just telling you, like, the way that these people think, I bet you they're looking for 10,000 people to show up to the Liberty Bowl.
Their home opener next weekend is a 7 o'clock kick.
7 o'clock Saturday night.
Now, the tickets are pretty reasonable. Tickets start at $20.
It's cheap. I mean, that's great.
Here's the thing.
I want to take Jake for the inaugural game.
You're okay.
7 o'clock, I want to be part of history, Matt.
You're hoping they draw 10. The Memphis Tigers, and I know this caused a lot of ruffled feathers around town.
Yeah, be careful, yeah.
The commercial appeal broke out
the
numbers.
Right.
Said that the Tigers, the beloved Memphis Tigers, who have been on a four-year run like we've never seen, averaged 24,000. So you're talking about getting almost half of that. I know half of that would be 12, but you're
but
a little under
half of
that.
But it was a crap year, though, because there were bad weather. Like,
I know it, but what do you think Federer is going to be? Hello?
No, I get it.
You're from Memphis. You're aware.
Listen, I've talked to several of the GMs and the ownership people with some of these minor league, let's just say, random clubs around town, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
I think the expectations need to be a little higher, and they have high expectations. I'm not saying they get there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In recent years, I think they've done better with baseball. Baseball's had better numbers in recent years. But I don't know, man. We're going to have soccer. We got football. They're going to be competing with Monster Truck is the only thing they're competing with next weekend.
How wild would it be if the Express win the AAFL
like the whole, the,
title?
Their Super Bowl?
And like, and they're the first team to celebrate down Beale instead of the Tigers or the Grizzlies?
That would be, no disrespect to AAF, that might be embarrassing, right?
That wouldn't.
I kind of don't.
Are you going to wear a T-shirt? AAFL champions?
I'll give you this. If the Express win the championship, I bet you FedEx will have a parade for them on Beale Street. I'll go.
I bet they would. Now, FedEx would certainly do that. You know who hasn't ever seen a champion in his life?
Don't you
Jeff
dare.
Calkins.
Don't
I'm going to ask Jeff about that. We're talking AAFL with Jeff Calkins when we come back.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Home of the Eric Hasseltine Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. Memphis. A radio.com sports station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
I enjoyed that we finally got some Patriots in that last segment, Brad.
You devil.
It's 5 o'clock. It's past 5 o'clock. Which means it's time for a visit with our good friend Jeff Calkins from the Jeff Calkins Show. You listen weekdays, it's 9 to 11 every day here on 92.9 FM. You also read him in the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey, how are you, my friend?
I'm tremendous.
I was worried about you. I haven't heard from you via the last couple texts I sent you, so I was relieved to hear you on the air today. I guess you were just ignoring me after the events of last weekend.
You're blocked.
Even
you're blocked.
Okay.
Well, he's annoyed by the Patriots stuff.
He is. So here's a question.
Yeah.
As it related to championships, we have not been blessed by any here in Memphis.
Not so far.
You're a Buffalo guy. You have never seen a title.
Correct.
My kids have seen more titles in the last 4 months than you have in your lifetime. I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm just
saying. In fairness, one would be more.
That's true. They've seen more in the last week and a half. All right.
Exactly.
Would you celebrate a Memphis Express title if they won it?
No.
No?
Well, yes and no. I mean, here's the truth. I mean, any title is better than the alternative. And so you never know. Like, I'll be honest. I don't really celebrate. Do I celebrate Redbirds titles? I did the 1 year, the first year they did it, back when it was
Albert Pujols.
Albert Pujols.
Yep.
Yeah, like that year. But, like, I acknowledge it, and I think it's great. You don't have community-wide, raucous parade celebrations for, in fairness, any minor league team.
No. The Memphis River Kings used to win titles when I first got here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just don't do titles for you don't. Now, maybe there are towns where you do a title for a minor league team in certain sports. I don't really know. Like if you're a smaller city and it's your pride and joy is in Pawtucket, if the Paw Sox won the title, but they
no, they're too close. They're too close in Boston. New England's too
right. So
too smashed together.
Ones. They get real ones. So yeah, no, I don't really think minor league.
They do in movies, but not in real
life.
Yeah,
like in Pennsylvania, like in Youngstown or some of those places.
Yeah, all those hockey.
No, I know it because I lived it in Atlantic City. They won a minor league hockey title.
But I'm saying
they
didn't
had a parade.
Like, yeah,
did
all
they
right.
celebrate it?
And yes, Scranton, a double A.
Rochester Americans celebrate it? I mean, the fans, even there, though, I think the fans of that team celebrate it, but I don't really think the whole community goes crazy over any minor league title. I mean, minor league is. It's just sort of about the experience. It's kind of like going to a fair, that's part of it. I'll say the Redbirds are right up front about this. It's one of the interesting differences I think will be between the soccer team and the Redbirds baseball team, because the Redbirds baseball team is very clear that they want to win, and they try to win and whatever else, but they know that most people come for the scene and the nachos and the, you know, like whatever. That's what my essence, and it's not even disparaging it. It's such a lovely thing. That's the essence of minor league baseball is the experience. And I actually think the competitive aspect of the new Memphis 901 team, FC team, will be more significant to the general proceedings than the competitive aspect of the Redbirds are to the general proceedings. Although, I mean, I think the atmosphere will be cool, too, because it'll be this sort of, you know, this universe of soccer that we haven't experienced in a while, big-time soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Minor league generally – not as much, and that's the other thing they will tell you, and the 901 FC tells you, it's not a minor league, it's its own league. You can't be called up. You're not, if you're on the Memphis 901 FC team, you can't be called up to the Columbus team or whatever. The players, they can sell players under contract, but they just, like, they're their own organization. It is one's minor league
team.
It is not as good a league as the MLS, right? But there's no minor league affiliations involved in it one way or another. They sign their players, and MLS team signs their players, and if they then want to convey one, they can. But, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I heard Nashville got in trouble. They were trying to purchase an MLS guy, I think. They got whacked for it over their ULS team.
I don't celebrate much, let's be clear.
No, you don't. You're miserable.
Mm-hmm. All right, talk to me about the Memphis Express. So a couple of tiered questions. Brad informs me they are hoping to draw about 10,000 a game.
No, that was my guess.
Oh, okay.
That was randomly.
I thought you said that was their stated goal.
No, I would think it would be, though.
I've got someone on Twitter telling me they will get 10,000 for the opening game, take it to the bank.
Wow.
I'm guessing that it's not going to be embraced wholeheartedly, given for a couple things. By and large, it's a bunch of players that no one's heard about or can't really remember. I'm a football guy. I looked at the Memphis roster. Of the 52 players, I recognized 8 names. I don't know if you've checked out the roster. I'd be interested to see how many you know. I would guess it'd probably be somewhere around there. Number one, the weather's certainly not going to do you many favors in February with 7 o'clock kicks and whatnot. But and as a new entity, I mean, I don't know. What are your expectations for the Express and the AAFL?
Well, I would be generally have been pessimistic, except for they sponsor the phone line on my show. And because of that, I think the fans are going to come pouring in.
They're going to be all sorts of fans.
Because they are going to identify with my show and the excitement and good humor of my show.
I understand.
And therefore, that's going to create a market. They're going to realize it's a big league team.
Yep.
connected with a big league show.
With a big league host, no doubt.
With a big league host.
Yep.
And therefore, they are going to – no, and in fairness, they actually – I do think it's been important because for a long time, there wasn't a lot of PR, mm-hmm. right? They announced they were coming, and then they disappeared.
Right.
And I actually think it does matter that they're actually telling people, here we are, et cetera.
Sure.
I think that's been important. I'll also say this. I really think that the league itself, the existence of the league, matters because, pro football has just been a weird sport in that if you don't make a roster, you can't go to Europe and play. You mm-hmm. can't go. There hasn't been a G League. There's a CFL, but there's a limit on the number of American players you can have.
Yep.
And obviously the rules are different and everything else. There's just been no good developmental league, which is weird because football development is critical. And you can look around and whether it's Kurt Warner or Kent Hall or like lots of Sam Mills from the U.S. Like there's lots of players who in the old USFL days wouldn't have made the NFL, mm-hmm. but developed. So I'm thoroughly in favor of the enterprise, and I hope it succeeds in Memphis because I hope everything succeeds in Memphis. Having said that, the challenge is this. People always say minor league football has had a great history of success in Memphis. It's why they came back here, and it's true. Even the ones that are modestly successful tended to be more successful than other places. Just whatever league we were in, we supported it. The difference is this. Every single one of those leagues preceded the Grizzlies. And so for all of those leagues, every single one of them, we weren't a quote-unquote major league city yet, right? We were always aspiring. We were always striving. We were trying to be something. I don't think there's that same sense of the establishment or we have to prove ourselves or whatever else. I think we're already in a situation where you got the Grizzlies to support, you've got the Tigers to support, you got the golf tournament, which is about to expand and which is expanding and becoming even more significant. And I don't think there is this thirst. I don't think there's any stakes here. Like, if they literally folded tomorrow and left, they wouldn't be, oh, gosh, what a blow for Memphis,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if I'm all for it, if people want to, like, Tiger Lane's fun, if people want to go out there and have a good time and be at the Liberty Bowl,
mm-hmm.
I'm all for it. If it weren't for the sponsorship of my phone line, I would be skeptical just because I would think they would have waited a month or so to wait for it to be a little warmer, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't think there's a thirst for it.
Yeah.
But I hope I'm wrong because I will say this: like I gave a talk in the U.S. a few weeks ago, and about 10 kids stood in line to talk to me and asked me various questions about whatever else, like do you know the great Matt Stark and other important questions like that. But someone asked me,
"Tell them you blocked me."
And they said, I didn't really like it. And they came up to me and said, so what do you think about the Express? How good do you think of it? Mm. And I was stunned.
Yeah.
That literally among, that the, in the AAF, that there were kids at MUS who were like getting into it. So, I hope there is this sort of growing appreciation because I just assume, but I don't think there's no civic pride at stake here and how it does or doesn't do or whatever else. It'll be, it's just like if a restaurant opens, if it closes, it doesn't work, it's too bad. You say, well, let's try something. We'll try Mexican here or whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll try Chinese next time. I'll go to the first home one. I'm not going Sunday, but I'm going to go. Depending on where the Tigers are, I'll go to the first home one and we'll see how it goes. I mean, I enjoy the XFL as a wacky experience, mm-hmm. right?
I was an XFL season ticket holder in New Jersey.
But this is not that. This is not some wacky, we're going to do all this. Like, this is, as you mentioned, this is football. And they're trying out some different things that maybe the NFL will take away from them in terms of
the cheerleaders
replay
aren't on the field and
officials
well,
and all that.
In some ways, I will say this, in some ways, the XFL was bigger because it was this phenomenon. It was this renegade. The first XFL TV numbers were extraordinary on the first And then very quickly, maybe even within that game, I forgot how it worked, they cratered.
Right.
They went from, and by the end, they were basically, they were no-no.
Right.
Right?
And so, but that was also national TV back in the time before this explosion of, you know, cable networks and everything like that. They were like NBC or ABC or whoever. They were
intense curiosity about it. And then it just kind of blew up and went away and whatever else. This, weirdly enough, I think there's much less national curiosity about it, maybe because we're besieged with so many options now.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's actually, because of its relationship with the NFL, and because it's going to be, all the games are going to be broadcast on NFL Network, it's actually more sound and stable than the XFL, but it hasn't nearly approached the level of hype and intrigue that the XFL did way back when.
Yep. Shout out to He Hate Me. And that'll transition us to a guy, I know you don't hate him, but you've certainly tried to fire him multiple times. That would be Grizzlies general manager Chris Wallace. What's the official number? Brad and I were wondering about that. Is there an official how many times you fired Chris Wallace in print yet? Is it three or four or under?
Well, it depends how you count. So,
what an answer.
I guess that number, well, actually.
Actually, I don't, and it's interesting. Someone on Twitter said to me, you guys were defending Chris Wallace long after you should have, right?
Okay.
Because there are people who are saying 5 years ago we should have been ripping Chris Wallace. And my view always on Chris Wallace has been he deserved credit for assembling the team the first time around. And you just can't acknowledge, you have to acknowledge that. Then he made lots of mistakes since then.
Yeah.
So I didn't fire him. And my powers were obviously waning because I wasn't effective until last trade deadline, when I was so infuriated that
was the column from overseas or whatever.
Yeah.
So then
brutal juice.
So then I fired him again earlier this year, a couple weeks ago. I forgot what the occasion was. And then, if you count today's column, today I wrote that they should, okay, now they're through the trade deadline, they should go out and it wasn't about Chris though. It really says Chris at this point, which I sort of believe is more symbolic and more a fall guy, mm-hmm. sort of. For I'm not absolving him. I'm just saying they roll him out to try to defend these moves.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone thinks that it's Chris is the one who's driving the ship at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, so in this column, I said what they should do is hire a real authoritative basketball executive, and I threw out the name of Shane Battier as the person that they should go hire. So I replaced him with Shane Battier, and I guess in that way I did fire him.
Yep,
but
that's
it wasn't
a firing.
But it wasn't focused on Chris.
Right.
Indeed, it sort of said he's a fall guy. So, no, I've only fired him twice formally and then once by just implication.
Once indirectly. So we'll give it a three. All right, so you were there for his press conference today when he defended the Grizzlies' moves over the past 24 hours as a bit of a throwback. Give me your take five from the press conference today where, and if we're talking over-under, I would love to be able to transcribe. Brad and I talked about this earlier. How many times he mentioned Jaren Jackson in that press conference? And it reminded me, as we discussed earlier, how someone, when they're losing an argument, quickly switches tactics and goes on the offense and just steers the conversation in a direction that they want it to go, i.e. what John Calipari is great at. And I'm not trying to say that's what Chris was doing in terms of, you know, losing an argument, whatever. But, boy, he certainly brought up Jaren Jackson a bunch of times, wanted to let you know about the great future that he has.
Right. Well, I mean, in fairness, if you're talking about your vision for the future, which some of the questions are,
mm-hmm.
that's built around Jaren Jackson. I mean, that is the correct answer,
yes.
right? If you're like, what's this? And if you're talking about what's important in the rest of the season, it's looking at the continuing development of Jaren Jackson. It didn't actually strike me as manipulative or anything the way that he brought up Jaren Jackson. I thought the truth of the matter is, I mean, I wrote about this, that there's at this point, there's nothing that Chris could say. It's why I wrote about my column about Chris Wallace and the administration sort of in advance of him talking,
mm-hmm.
because rather than after he talked, I've written a different column about this, one of the things he said, which I'll get to in a minute. But because there's literally, he has so little credibility at this point. It's just that's where we are. that it doesn't almost matter what he said. People go in there expecting there to be a laugh track, basically, underneath it, and and they treat it that way, and so there you go. And so and that's what it was like. But there was nothing he said that was, wrong or whatever else. I mean, he said what you expected it to say. Well, the reasons he that they made the deal, I knew the reasons they made the deals they made, and so there you go. The most interesting thing he said, honestly, to me, and I've written another column about this that's up at the Daily Memphian, is, and I've just tweeted it out, is for the first time he acknowledged that they really want to convey the Boston pick this year.
Yep.
Which is an interesting thing. I mean, before I've asked people about it, and they said, yeah, well, whatever. You know, it's not why we built the team the way we did this year. I remember asking John Hollinger was available at the first media day. And I said, the fact, you know, that you're trying to win with this new group of veterans around Mark and Mike, is it driven at all by the need to convey the pick? Mm-hmm. And he basically poo-pooed it. And at the time, it may be because they had bigger goals, like playoffs or whatever. And so I'm not saying he was being disingenuous when he said that. But for Chris to basically come out and say, we have a strategic goal here in mind, and we really want to convey the pick. Now, anyone with a brain knew they wanted to convey the pick, and that is the right thing to do, is to convey the pick this year. But the fact that he said it, I think, is interesting for two reasons. One, it just clarifies how crappy they think this draft is, right?
He kind of said that, too. He talked very top-heavy, and then it fell off or something along those lines.
Basically said it's not a good draft.
Yes.
And whether you think it's a one-person draft or a two-person player draft or a three-player draft, obviously Zion's at the top of the draft, et cetera. So he acknowledged and explained, and it's what I've been trying to tell people, 7, 8, 9 in some drafts, still not generally, if you pick there, it's not their percentage of hitting a stud isn't particularly high, but 7, 8, 9 in a crap draft is, there's no universe in which picking with the 9th pick in this draft, let's just say, or the 8th pick after the, we call it the 8th pick, is worth the risk of maybe sacrificing the 2nd pick in a much better draft in 2021. It's just insanity. This is not even a close call. So of course they want to convey, but the fact that he said it, honestly, it sets them up for a goal that I don't think they're going to meet. Now they have a chance to convey. If you look at the standings, they've got to catch. I don't have it right in front of me. They got to catch Orlando.
New Orleans.
I mean, it depends. Orleans. Yep.
Is it Washington? Washington's falling apart without Wall. Yeah. So you've got some moves.
And the good thing about it is a lot of the teams around them were getting rid of good players at the deadline, right? So you had Washington getting rid of players. Now the problem is New Orleans is getting Anthony Davis back. Weirdly enough, and this is my new column, was about how now there's this new goal for the Grizzlies. It's not a playoff race. It's what we call a payoff race because you want to pay off the I like that. Come
I
on,
do.
Man.
Yeah,
I
that's
like
a, no, it's a strong
yeah,
segment.
Yeah,
I like it. Let's give it a
We're laughing with you.
No, trademark. It's good. That was actually
– we're in the midst of a payoff race, and in this payoff race, tomorrow is a must-win game, and it's not tanking; it's winning. Like you're trying to win your way to mediocrity. You're trying to win to get to the.
That's a great billboard.
I love that. This is the new marketing slogan, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm a genius. It's the payoff race, and so they're trying to get tonight. And listen, I acknowledge that when the goal is to win enough games to limit the damage from the egregiously bad trade you made a few years ago, like that's not the most inspirational goal.
No.
You know, before it used to be Memphis versus everybody, right? Now it's versus Memphis versus everybody else who sucks. that's my new growl pal.
I like it.
I'm giving away some of my best column
Man,
material.
This is good stuff.
There's lots of liners in that column.
But the column's up. And That's how you have to. Thanks, Brad. That is how you have to look at this. Is Colin's overstatement, Brad? Anyway, so I do think like if you look at this as a race, there's no reason you can't catch Toronto. Honestly, like Dallas has got rid of Harris. You played Dallas three times coming down the stretch. So if you can sweep Dallas, now, you know, Dallas, I think, is like three or four wins ahead of you. So you got a little work to do there, but you could catch, like, you have to catch three teams. Orlando, Washington, and the Pelicans, I think, are the three.
And Detroit, Detroit is tied with New Orleans with 24 wins. Yep.
Detroit is right there.
Minnesota is within reach at 25, Minnesota's tied with Dallas and Miami.
Yeah. So you need to pass three of them. I don't think it's impossible, and I don't think it's like if they had been offered some treasure trove of decent personnel picks, they would have taken that. There's no question. They weren't from our. But one of the small benefits, if it works out this way, of the deals that they did make is because they're bringing in two veteran players and they kept Mike, they now do have a chance. Again, I don't think it's likely. I think it's a 20% chance or something of getting to nine. And even if you get to nine, here's the good part. You're still in the lottery, right? So every non-playoff team is still in the lottery. And then if you get lucky in the lottery and get Zion, you get to keep the pick. In fact, if you're in the top four, you keep the pick. And I actually wondered if they jumped into fourth, let's say, in the lottery, would they rather keep the pick or convey it? But I think there, even in this bad draft, a top four pick is pretty good. So if you could, if you finish ninth, you either get lucky and jump into the top four, great, get to keep it, or else you're conveying a pick that is 12, to Boston, and who cares? In a bad draft, 9 through 12 is not a meaningful. Chip. And so that's the new goal for the season. Start the banners, put up the boards. It's a payoff race.
Payoff race. Win to mediocrity. That sounds like a new segment.
I don't know. Hey, that's pretty good.
So we had Dan Wolkin on earlier today, and we were talking about the Grizzlies and Chris Wallace. And again, I'm not trying to pile on Chris, but Dan kind of alluded like, you know, hey, what if he's back next year? Like, and we kind of all just generally assume that he's not going to be back. And you've promoted Shane Battier today in the Daily Memphian was your guy or somebody like him. Does Robert Parra have it in him to fire Chris and then find the right guy? Like, one of the things that struck me in your article with him from, 2 months ago, was how he talked about his comfort level with Chris and with JB and JB's comfort level with the players and all that. And honestly, that was the one big glaring part of your piece with him in your Q&A that struck me as like, man, that's not an answer that I want to hear. Like, you don't need to be best friends with these guys, particularly when they're running the organization.
He didn't say comfort level. He said continuity. He said
okay.
He was in favor of continuity.
I think he said JB was comfortable, or people were comfortable with JB, I think.
Well,
is
I think basically what he said is that they had, I mean, in the end, again, this clearly didn't work. Like, I'm not endorsing this plan, right? But in the end, the idea was we want to convey the pick. We want to be competitive. We just had a national search for a coach and turned up David Fizdale. Didn't work at all. Clash with Mark, et cetera. We know that these players like and respect him and listen to him. We have watched him and think he's good. And so why, when we just did a national search and it ended up a disaster, why do you have another one? We are trying to use continuity to be our advantage as we go into the new year in order to be good enough to convey the pick or make the playoffs or whatever else. So I don't think it's that he doesn't have it in him. I mean, he fired Jason Levien. You know, he fires Stu Lash. He's like, he runs a company that's wildly successful, Ubiquity. So I don't think it's that he doesn't have it in him. That wouldn't be my concern. I think there's two things I would think about. One is we all think they need, both from a basketball but also a business marketing perspective, that it's just untenable for them to come back with the same front office and try to sell that to the fans, that they can buy in on a rebuild, but only if they – believe in the rebuilder, right? And so I know that, and you know that, But does Robert Parra know that? Does he care about that? Mm-hmm. Right? Is that something? I have never predicted a change, because to predict a change would be to read the mind of Robert Parra, and I don't know the answer to that. Right? I can't read the mind of Robert Parra. I would think that the people in another few weeks they send out season ticket renewals. I would think the people who are in charge of season ticket renewals would let him know that this would be better if there was a reconstruction of the front office. So, A, will he make a change? And then B, what kind of change will it be? I believe that the best thing to do would be to get a powerful basketball executive and empower that executive to run the franchise. Mm-hmm. That's how it works in most successful places. The problem with that is that it generally involves maybe Robert Parra likes basically running the shots. And if you hire Jerry West, here's what he does to Michael Heisley. He says, I'll let you know, Mike. You know, basically, I'll make the deal and I'll let
you
know.
Yep.
And so when Jerry West was gone and Heisley was then working with Chris Wallace, Heisley could be scouting Fabeat, scouting O.J. Mayo. Mm-hmm. Now, in fairness, they actually built a more successful team than Jerry West did. It's not that he doesn't have it in him. It's does he want to? So if I was to predict, and this is just a wild prediction, I would predict there will be a reshuffling of the front office, because I think there has to be changes in the front office. But I don't think I think in the end, the person who emerges at the top of the pyramid here will be someone that Robert Parra knows he can work with, and will be someone in-house. That would be my guess.
Let me change it up.
All of that is just 100% speculation.
Let me change it up real quick. We're talking with Jeff Calkins. Before we let you go and off to your Friday, Memphis Tigers have lost 3 straight. I know you talked about them this morning. Again, as we visited with Dan Wolkin, former Tiger beat writer, he was saying that Penny needs to stop with the game plan and talk that Penny has said, you know, about, hey, the game plan's on point. It's not necessarily throwing the kids under the bus, but not exactly not. And my question was, how much of that of his coach speak, particularly when it comes to game planning and what went wrong and that kind of thing, stems from the fact that the biggest question about Penny when he got the job was what? Was how will he coach? All we've seen him do is coach at East. Do you think there's some of that in why we get what we hear from him?
Well, two things. I don't think the hey, we had a great game plan is by itself throwing kids under the bus. He says that all the time. Mm-hmm. He says, I have a great staff, we come up with a great plan, blah, blah, blah. That's not throwing kids under the bus. I'll get to why he says that in a minute. The throwing the bus under the bus part was what happened last night. And even then, like the kids I don't think they felt thrown under the bus. Like, so I don't know that I haven't noticed that they've objected, but where he basically comes out and says, we're not tough. We don't have enough tough players. Mm-hmm. We're not like, he does say that. Like, and it's those direct things that he says about the players themselves. They're not tough. They're soft. I actually was toying with the headline last night, because I was going to say Penny calls his team soft, but he didn't actually call his team soft. He says we don't have enough toughness. And yeah. So I just thought that would be an unfair headline, because soft has a real connotation.
Mm-hmm.
It is sort of
that's what she said.
Tough. But thank you, Brad. That's the part that's calling out the players. I don't think that's doing anyone any harm, honestly. If the players were objecting to it, maybe. I'm not so worried about that one way or another. I do think it's noticeable, though, the fact that it's almost a verbal tick that he's always talking about, I have this great game plan. And I just think I don't necessarily think it's a response to the skepticism that he knew was out there. I think we're learning about Penny. I like Penny a lot, and I like him almost more now than I did when he was hired. But you are learning things about him. And one of the things you're learning about him is he's a little, it's a combination of ego/insecurity, you know? Like he answered a question, I forgot what the question was last night, but it was something bubble. And he winds up, he starts by saying, well, as a student of the game, come, boom, right? Mm-hmm. And to just take Bill Belichick would never preface something with, as a student of the game. It goes without saying he's a student of the game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whereas Penny felt the need to say, well, as a student of the game, when he was asked about Jeremiah Martin scoring 41 points and a half against South Florida, And he said, well, had he ever seen that before? Well, as someone who played at the highest level, you know, whatever. Like, he's constantly putting things like that in, just offhandedly. And I do think, and I'm being a little bit, you know, psychobabble here, but I do think that speaks somewhat to his pride and somewhat to his insecurity. And I also think I'm not really ripping him for it, because I think those things are also things that drive him to do well at Memphis. Like the fact that he is, I know for me, when I would study particularly hard for a test in law school, it was because I was a little, I was scared of failing, and I wanted to, like, those are the things that motivated me. And so I don't think a little insecurity and a blend of insecurity and pride are necessarily a bad thing. I think it among the reasons that I think he'll be a success, but I do think that's what's happening. You're seeing that. He's not just, you know, he feels the need to tell you he's a student of the game, mm-hmm. whereas I don't think might suggest he does.
Fair enough. Listen, we kept you for a long time. We appreciate it, Jeff. Have a great weekend. Jeff Calkins from the Jeff Calkins Show. We're back on the Gary Parrish Show after this.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
I used to want a grip grain to my wrist lock. Ooh, now I want a BMW i3. It's little buddy, some point like Kyrie. My mama taught me never let a sucker try me. But if he do, draw blood like an IV.
All right, welcome back. We've had ourselves a busy day. Dan Wolkin having a couple for us, Brad, at a bar in Europe.
This won't be the first time we've had a person live from a bar. And actually, not live from a bar in Europe. We've had that before, too.
Really?
Yeah, I believe it was in Olympics or there was
Gary
like was
travel.
Over there.
Oh, well, that too. Yeah, okay. I believe that.
Yeah.
We want to thank Jeff Calkins for joining us. Had a nice long run with Jeffrey.
Yeah, it was fun.
And
like his column, and we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get into that because that's definitely something that you're going to want to read. And, well, let's do that right now. Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folks Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
Well, we learned that the Grizzlies really want to convey that draft pick badly. Get out from under that whole Jeff Green trade. They want to move on to a bold new future, which probably is going to include a lot of losing games,
they
unfortunately.
They love Jaren Jackson as much as
they
we do.
They love Jaren Jackson. Jaren Jackson. Did I mention Jaren Jackson?
Yeah.
We love Jaren
Jackson. What's the biggest game tonight?
Well, you're talking about St. Benedict hosting a team from somewhere on Walnut Grove at the Nest, a.k.a. the SBA Gymnasium. I believe tip is, this is where I should have done a little more research. I think it's 7:30 generally.
Yes. And
we don't have a girls game tonight, so it could be 7.
Local high school sports, also SBA, you guys hired a new football coach.
We did. Marlon Walls, who was an assistant at the school with us before, and we think he's going to do great things with our football program, so we're excited.
What should I watch on TV?
Well, it is Friday.
Oh, Dateline.
And that does mean Dateline NBC. And I know you guys have a big connection with that show on this show. Tell me about it, Brad.
That is must-see TV tonight. Detectives poured over text messages.
Okay.
Was Michelle responsible for Conrad's death, the missing teenage son or their son?
Here's the only question worth asking. Who's hosting?
It's not Keith Morrison.
What?
Keith Morrison apparently is like Weekend at Bernie's. It's Andrea Canning. She's reporting tonight.
Not watching.
Andrea Canning.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is. I couldn't pick her out of the lineup.
Well, we have a thing about Keith Morrison.
You guys do.
And actually, Gary does a really good. I didn't do it justice. Gary, when he does the descriptions, he has a spot-on Keith Morrison impression at this point.
I don't think I could.
No.
I know he's got
You have to do the slow, deliberate.
Yeah, he's got a long.
Detectives poured over. It's almost a half. It's more than a pause. It's more detectives. Poured over text messages. I can't do it.
I'm not that familiar with his work.
It's quite a delivery. That's why Saturday Night Live has a guy who spoofs him pretty good.
I do that. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like to work on my voice impersonations. Maybe I'll have to see if I can put that one in the repertoire.
Maybe so.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah, Jeff gave him a little tip about what's going to be in his column. He is writing over on the Daily Memphian on the new race for the Grizzlies, the payoff race, we're calling it. Win to mediocrity so that we can move that
pick.
I do too.
Yeah.
Print the t-shirts.
What's on tap next week?
GP live from NYC on Monday. We'll be talking about the Grizzlies' debut of their new players. Maybe we can get some W's. We got New Orleans coming.
Yep.
They play tonight, which means
on the back end, they're not playing Anthony Davis.
So if he plays tonight, theoretically, he doesn't play tomorrow, which would be good for the Grizzlies.
Good thing.
And, of course, Tigers host UConn on Sunday, so maybe we'll be talking about a W that, that we both think the Tigers will get on Sunday. And that is going to put this one to bed.
Beautiful
Everybody,
work, Mr.
Yes,
Stark.
Have yourself a wonderful Friday. Great weekend. Stay healthy. Get on that vitamin C. Everybody's sick, man.
What is up with that?
My wife is texting me. The kids are sick, so that's not awesome. Slam some vitamin C. Be healthy. Be safe
Wash
out there.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Stop coughing on everybody. Have a good weekend, Memphis.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.